begin with verse 11 and read down through verse 14. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Stand, therefore, because we are to take for ourselves the whole armor of God, because the days are evil, the days are wicked. We're not fighting against flesh and blood as men who go to war in this life to fight against flesh and blood. But we're fighting against the devil, fighting against Satan, and his devices are deceit, trickery. He uses principalities, uses powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about a spiritual battle. We're talking about a spiritual war. The enemy is one that is spiritual. He may use flesh and blood. He may use individuals that we can see and can look upon. But he's spiritual. And so the armor of God is a spiritual armor. It's spiritual instruments that we are to take to ourselves and we are to put on. We're going to begin with verse 14, looking at God's armor. And it is just that it, both times that it said take to ourselves the armor of God, it's His armor. Aren't you glad that as a child of God, that when He saved you, He didn't just leave you there with no armament, with nothing to protect you, to keep you? He's our protector. He's our keeper. And these things are all, well, shall we say, characteristics of His that we are to use and we are to put on. Each piece has been freely given to us. Freely given to us of God. Aren't you glad that He has provided us with it? In the 5th chapter, in verse 1, it said, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. And these pieces that we'll be looking at and putting on, they promote us following God. Going back to verse 10. Of chapter 6. He told us to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And so it is that we are followers, imitators of God, walking as God walks in holiness and righteousness. that we find protection against falling into the traps of the evil one. The first one that we look at here in verse 14 and is mentioned is the girdle of faith. Having your loins girt about with truth. What do you girt about yourself? You girt about yourself with a girdle. So it's a girdle of truth. This was actually a belt type, and I can visualize it. I can't explain it very well, but it was a belt type that went around the hip area. It was that which they used in the days of the Romans and Roman soldiers and so forth to gird about their body, to hold the soldier's clothing next to his body, because they, not like in our day and time where everything is worn tight and tight to the body, but it was loose flowing clothing that they wore. And this girdle went about them to bind the clothing close to their body so it wasn't flailing in the wind and becoming a hindrance to them in battle. It kept his clothes from flopping about. It went around his body. Think about this now. It's the girdle of truth. And it went around his body. The whole hip area, waist area. You say, well, what about the other part of the body? Well, there's other pieces to be worn. And see, when we get to the breastplate came down and covered this region down to the girdle, the belt that was worn. Also, another point about this belt, this girdle, some have said that they would attach some of their instruments to it, like a sword and different instruments to the belt to secure them. So it went about in body. Let's make application then now to a Christian, to the saved church member. That's who this letter was written to, saved church members at Ephesus. So the saved church member is to be encompassed all around with God's truth. Remember, this is the armor of God. So it's truth. And I might add to that, if it's truth, it's God's. God is the author of truth. He's not the author of lies, untruth. He's the author of truth. John chapter 4 and verse 24 tells us that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. In other words, it must be in spirit. We must be in tune with the Spirit of God, and it must be according to the Word of God. It must be according to that which He has dictated to us. As I was studying for this and thinking about this, what's that say about a lot of the so-called churches all around us? They make a pretense of worship, but it's not in the Spirit of God, according to the Spirit of God, which is according to truth, because they have put in their own ideas and their own philosophy, and they come in their own way and worship. You've heard different ones tell, and I've had individuals tell me when witnessing to them, well, we're all working for the same end. We're all working to go to the same place. Well, there's only one way, according to truth. There's only one way, and that's God's way. And He said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. There's no other way unto the Father but by me, Jesus said. So it must be according to the Spirit of God, according to truth. Turn with me in the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 3. Something for us to think about in regards to that, and we ought to think about it seriously. Every saved individual ought to seriously think about it. Every church member ought to think about it in seriousness, in the light of what is said in this regard. But 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15 says, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, the assembly, church, His kind of church, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 14, we're to be encompassed about with truth. It is one of the pieces that we are to put on for this warfare, this spiritual warfare, this spiritual battle that we are in. Every child of God ought to be prepared for it. And in light of 1 Timothy chapter 3 in verse 15, what is the best way to be encompassed about with truth? What is the best way to be prepared for the war that we're in, being encompassed with truth? To make sure we're in the Lord's church. To make sure that we're a member of one of the Lord's churches. You've heard me say it before, and I'll say it again. It is the will of God, it is the perfect will of God, that every saved individual be scripturally baptized. And is scripturally baptized, what's that done? It's added them to some particular local assembly of the Lord's congregation. But now, not all are scripturally baptized. Not all do become members of a local assembly of the Lord's. But if they want to be best fitted and best encompassed with truth, What better place to be than where it is the pillar and ground of truth, which is the Lord's church. The place that upholds the truth. The place that the truth is deposited. It is God's depository. Because they're the ones that are holding up the standard. They're holding it up before men and women. I think of the number of people I know and individuals over the years that are members of the Lord's church, and they take it so lightly. They don't take it in seriousness, and they hit and miss. They don't take it serious, or even if they come faithfully, they're unconcerned and appear to be uninterested. I think about the times that I, as a church member, was just that kind of an individual, just that kind of a church member. And really say that was encompassed with truth. Christ is the truth. Christ is the truth. The saved church member is to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. To abide in Him and He in us. The book of John, in chapter 1, in verse 14, and the Word, Jesus Christ, He who was with God, He who is God, was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace. You've heard the illustration before. If you're full of something, can you add any more to it? If that cup is full of water, can I add any more water to it? No, I can't add. You can't get any more than full. You can say, full overflowing, but it is full. Christ is full of grace. Not only is He full of grace, according to this verse, but He's full of truth. Jesus Christ is truth. And He is full of truth, and we're to put Him on. We reverence John chapter 14 and verse 6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, He said. Turn with me to the book of John in chapter 15. John 15. In verse 5. I am the vine. You are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. If you're abiding in Christ, and He in you, you're to be bringing forth, what fruit is it? Well, the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. These things are to be abounding in us. If we are abiding in Christ and He in us, then we bring forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Without Christ, we can't be bringing forth that much fruit. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my word abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. We're commanded to abide in him, and he in us. That is being encompassed with truth. Christ is truth. We are to put him on. Look with me at the book of Romans. Romans chapter 13. Verse 14 says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust of the flesh. You see, if we put on Christ, then we're not walking in the flesh. But if we're walking in the flesh, that is, after the desires and passions of the flesh, then it's evident that we don't have not put on Christ. That's not to say he's not in us, that we're not in Christ. But we're certainly not walking as though we're in Christ. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27 gives us an illustration of this having put on Christ in it's by our life's testimony that it's evident that we've put on Christ. Verse 27 of Galatians chapter 3 says, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. What is baptism? What is baptism? Is not baptism an external show of that which has taken place internally? So he's talking about in our manner of life and putting on Christ. Baptism is the first step in putting on Christ. It is an external show that of what has taken place in our heart and inwardly. And we show that we have died with Christ, that we were buried with Christ, and that we're going to rise again with Christ. We show that in the waters of baptism. We show that outwardly to all those that are looking on. They view our manner of life. And so to put on Christ is a term that is speaking of our external, a show, outward show to men, women, boys, and girls that we are abiding in Christ and he in us. The word of God is truth. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And he was full of grace and truth. But the Word, when we think of the Word, we think of the Bible. God's holy Word to man, his revealed will to man. And that is truth. The inspired Word of God is truth. The church member, the saved church member, and all church members are to be saved. Some sneak through the cracks, slip through the cracks, and aren't. And in time, they manifest that they're not. But the church member is to put on, to be encompassed with the Word of God. He's sanctified by the Word. See the importance that, I know it gets kind of repetitious every week in Sunday school, we go over a list of memory verses that we have learned. What better way to surround ourselves with truth than by committing to memory the Word of God and even other passages of Scripture maybe that we can't quote word for word. You realize there may come a time when we won't have the printed Word? Because the forces of evil are raging against it. Look at you walk into a Christian bookstore to find the Word of God. And it used to be KJV, 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 and over here, NIV, ESV, NKJV. But you walk in there now, it's NIV, NIV, ESV, all these perversions. And over here, KJV, KJV, a small area relegated to the KJV. You're odd, you're weird if you want the KJV. There may come a time when you would not be able to pick up a book. There may come a time when you would not be able to even pick up NIV or NKJV or ESV, any of them. Because Satan doesn't want any form of the God, Word of God made available to individuals. Turn with me to the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms. And 119. In verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? How are you going to cleanse your way? How am I going to cleanse my way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. The word of God cleanses us from sin, cleanses us from... What's it do? It's protecting us against the evil one. It's protecting us against Satan and his devices of deceit and trickery. We cleanse our way and we keep our way cleansed by looking to the Word of God, by reading it, studying it, meditating upon it, letting these things be part of us. Verse 11, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Commit it to memory. So that when the evil one comes and tempting you through lust of the flesh, you can quote the word of God
doing. When it comes to you tempting you through the lust of the eyes, you can quote the word of God to it. When it comes to you tempting you through the pride of life, you can quote the word of God to it.
That's resisting Satan and him fleeing from us. Look at verse 105. Verse 105 of this 119th chapter. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is a dark world that we live in. It's full of darkness. And I don't know about you, but when I go in the dark, especially now, I have to have a light. So I see where I'm going. So I don't trip and fall over something. Step in a hole and fall down. I need to have a light. So I can see, and the psalmist here tells us that the Word of God is that lamp. The Word of God is that light. I can see my feet, and I can see where they're going. And I can see a path here in front of me to follow. With the Word of God, we can see. We're talking about being in a war. Being in a spiritual war. We don't want to fall a victim to Satan's devices. We don't want to trip because of Satan's devices. And the Word of God will help to keep us from that. Look at verse 151. 151. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are true. The Lord's near. When you go to the Word of God, do you feel the Lord is near? Well, shouldn't we? I mean, when we go to the Word of God, isn't He whispering in our ear? Isn't He telling us His Word and His mighty power? The book of John, again, in chapter 17, the Lord's Jesus' intercessory prayer on our behalf. And he here prays to the Father and says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Lord, make them holy. Make them holy through thy truth. And then he said, Thy word is truth. And then again, I take you back. I like that when I read that, thy word is truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He's truth. And this Word is His Word. Hebrews chapter 1 and verses 1 and 2 has spoken us to us in old times by the prophets. But in these last days, He has spoken to us. How has He spoken to us in these last days, in our days? By His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the express image, the person of God. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26 says,
that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. How is Jesus sanctifying his church? How is he cleansing his church? By the water. Water is a cleansing agent. That is, it washes away the filth and the grime. What is water? What is spiritual water? The Word of God. He's cleansing his church with the Word of God. We're to be encompassed with the truth, with the Word of God. Well, I think we'll quit there today. We're not all the way through truth yet. We got quite a little more to go yet. We'll just finish looking at that again next week. Shall we stand and be dismissed in a word of prayer? Brother Harold, would you?